Welcome to the Revitalize Woman podcast with Dr. Brenda Heineke, where we bring health and wellness professionals together to talk about all aspects of women's health, from pregnancy to menopause and everything in between. Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in today to hear all about the safe exercises that you should do if you have pelvic floor issues. Oftentimes, women feel so conflicted and so confused in what they should and shouldn't do when they're dealing with some of these common pelvic floor problems. And there's so much information out there on the internet. And trust me, I know it is super contradictory and super confusing. So I'm going to hopefully try to kind of clarify things for you today and give you a little bit better of a roadmap and some guidance on where you should begin and what you really should do and not do and look out for. So before I get started into this, I do want to say, as kind of a disclaimer here, everyone is different. Everyone has different cases. So the advice I'm going to give you today is really a generalization. So if you feel like it's not working for you, then by all means, you know, please reach out, ask questions if you have it, because I don't want to lead anyone on the wrong path. Also, if you are doing exercise, just in general exercise, and you're having symptoms like leaking or pelvic pressure heaviness from potentially a prolapse, or you notice coning or doming on the abdomen from a diastasis, that's an indicator that whatever you're doing right then for exercise is a little too high level for what your body can tolerate without having those problems, because all of those issues are common, but they're not normal. So it's not normal to be peeing your pants when you're running or doing CrossFit or doing box jumps or jump rope. Despite what people may tell you, that's just not part of becoming a mom or getting older or just being a woman in general. It's not normal. So please, if you're having those problems, please seek out help. If you follow some of my guidelines here today, I often tell people if you try to work on it for a couple of weeks, doing exercises, things still aren't better, then it's time to seek out help. Because if you give it a couple of weeks, it's still happening. Chances are it's not just going to get better with some exercises on your own, and it's going to need a little more professional guidance. So please follow that tip if you're dealing with that, because I really don't want to see women suffering for years and years. I feel so bad when they come into the office and they didn't know because nobody told them, or they just kept telling them, oh, it's normal that you're a mom and you pee your pants now. So please pass it along to your mom friends. Also, I'm going to link a lot of resources for this episode in the show notes. So please check those out. I'm going to link actually a couple of specific exercises and also a couple of our free reports that gives you more information on some of these specific topics. So if you have those issues, you could download one of those reports and get a little more education and guidance as to what you should and shouldn't do there, and some more specific exercises and tips based on that issue. So check out the show notes after you listen and download whatever is appropriate for you, or applicable, I should say. So to start, I am breaking up our most common pelvic floor issues kind of into three main categories. So I like to categorize our dysfunctions as one, pressure issues. So that would be diastasis and prolapse. Two, incontinence, so any leaking or leaky bladder. and 3, a pain category. So low back pain, pelvic pain, any kind of pubic symphysis pain, so really common during pregnancy. Those 3 categories are kind of the most common and the largest groups. So that's what I'm going to focus on today. So if what you're dealing with doesn't totally fit in a category, try to find something that is closest to that and follow these guidelines. So for pressure issues, like I said, that would be diastasis recti or prolapse. Really quickly, a diastasis recti is where the abdominal muscles separate down the middle. Most common from pregnancy, but it can happen to anyone at any point. And prolapse is where your pelvic organs, so that would be uterus, bladder, or rectum, or any combination, start to drop down from the pelvis and can descend. And it starts to bulge into the vaginal wall. And on most severe cases, can be external of the body. And you'll actually see it if you're looking in that area. So I lump these two together because the advice tends to go hand in hand. I like to explain it the best as if there's just too much pressure inside of the abdomen and that has to go somewhere. So with the diastasis, it comes out the front, and with a prolapse, it pushes out the bottom. With that, you want to avoid any kind of exercise or activity that is producing symptoms of that. So with diastasis, sometimes people will notice like a bulge in the middle of their abdomen. We call this domine or conine. So if it's kind of like bulging up in the middle of your stomach, that would be an indicator of a diastasis. And if you're doing any exercise where you're noticing it, then that means that it's too stressful on the diastasis. And so you want to try to avoid that. With a prolapse, most women, they describe a heaviness on the pelvic floor or pressure. Sometimes people say it feels like something is falling out or like a tampon is falling out. So again, if you're doing activities like jumping jacks and you're feeling a lot of pressure, then the activity is too much or too high level for you at that point in time. While things are healing and while you're rehabbing, you really want to try to avoid anything that is going to exacerbate it. And that kind of goes long term. So oftentimes people will come into my office and see me for PT for an issue, and they get better, they meet their goals, they get back into doing everything they want to do. And that's something I tell them, that as time goes on, if things change and you start to notice these symptoms again, you know, that's an indicator that things have changed and we need to address that again. So that's always kind of your guideline, if you will. If you don't notice any symptoms or feel like you have symptoms with those activities, then you can kind of just ignore that part. One thing that I do stress pretty strictly is trying to avoid crunches. What it does is it just increases the abdominal pressure and puts a lot of stress on those areas. So really try to avoid doing crunches as an ab exercise long term. Granted, certain movements that we do day-to-day life can mimic crunch, or you're, you know, bending forward with it where your abdomen is crunched up. That's normal everyday life. We're never going to completely eliminate those types of activities, but to go to the gym and be doing like 100 crunches where you're really increasing that pressure, it just puts a lot of unnecessary stress on something that we really don't need to. So that is the one exercise that I try to tell people to avoid long term. There's a lot of questions I get about planks because there's a lot of information, more so with the diastasis, online about you should avoid planks. And I always tell people that planks are a really high level core exercise. So I feel like people can work up to it. It shouldn't be something that you should just jump into. You should kind of start basic and work up to that, and only be doing them if you've kind of done the homework earlier on to really re-engage the deep core muscle. So that's kind of where I stand on planks. Like I said, work your way up to that. Going off of that, I kind of tell people to focus primarily on core stabilization. So those exercises are targeting the transverse abdominis, TA for short. It's the deepest core muscle out of your four, and it basically wraps horizontally around your trunk and cinches in like a corset. In PT and with rehab, that tends to be the muscle that we really focus on when we talk about like an ab muscle or core muscle working. Oftentimes, for most people, it's not working as efficiently as it could be. Oftentimes, it gets shut off during pregnancy or any kind of injury to the area, like a back injury. And so we have to retrain it to reactivate. I will link in the show notes to a YouTube video of ours showing what kind of a basic TA exercise is and how to do it. So you can check that out if you want to know more about that. I also tell people to focus on diaphragmatic breathing or belly breathing. And I know it sounds silly, and I won't go into too much detail. You can go back and listen to episode 1 about Kegels, where I explain how the diaphragm factors in with everything. But it really helps monitor that pressure and manage it inside of the trunk, working along with the pelvic floor and the ab muscles. So belly breathing is also a really great exercise to focus on. Start there at those points and then try to progress from that. I won't give you a full exercise progression because it depends so much on the person, but if you haven't focused already on those basics, start there. And again, try to avoid crunches, please. So moving on to category number 2, that would be incontinence. So any leaking, and I'm going to just reiterate again, please, it is not normal to be peeing your pants at any point. So if that's you, let's put an end to it. But I hate to say, don't do the activity that is causing you to leak or that you're having leaking happen during, because I feel like that's very limiting. A lot of women will be leaking with coughing, sneezing, laughing, a lot of everyday activities. So I am very cautious to say, you know, try to avoid things that you're leaking with. I also say that too because a lot of times women will simply just stop doing the exercise. So, for example, jumping jacks is one that we get all the time here, or jumping rope, where women know that they're most likely going to leak when they do those activities or those exercises. So they just stop doing them and they take them out of their routine. That's not really fixing the issue. I won't say stop doing those things, but I will say if you're leaking during, there are so many things we can do to help with that. It's not something you have to deal with. Please don't just avoid those activities. Know that obviously whatever you're doing and having leaking happen during is an indicator that your body isn't strong enough to do that activity. So it sounds silly, but yes, your body is not strong enough to withstand coughing or sneezing. But again, we're not going to just avoid those things. So I also want to say that most of the time, the advice with incontinence is just do more Kegels. Maybe you've heard that, maybe you've read that, or been told that, but that's really not the answer for most women. And I tell people all the time, if you've tried doing Kegels for a couple of weeks and nothing is better, then chances are Kegels are not the answer for you and it's not enough. Again, you can go back and listen to the first episode where I go much more in depth about Kegels, but the synopsis is that some women actually have issues where the muscles are overactive or too tight, and it is more common than you think it is. And so if they're doing Kegels, they're basically contracting an already tight muscle. We don't want that. So it's really important to kind of know what issue you're working with so you can do the appropriate exercise. So if you haven't already listened to episode one, you can go, I'll link it in the show notes, but you can go to revitalize-pt.com/EP01. I talk much more in depth about that. The last thing with incontinence is very similar to diastasis and prolapse. Start with your basics. So focusing on that TA exercise and your belly breathing. That can do wonders for incontinence. And then, you know, yes, potentially Kegels could help. Oftentimes, incontinence can be a little more complex and brings in a lot of other areas of the body that might need to be addressed. So, you know, start with these basics. This is kind of a great starting point for you. But keep it in mind that if it's still not improving, it might need more than just the exercises alone. The last category I want to talk about is the pain category. So, as I said, like low back pain, pelvic pain, kind of like if you have any painful intercourse, you would kind of fall in this category as well. And then also that pubic symphysis pain that is pretty common that we see. The big thing with this is you want to really avoid the movements that are painful. So I think it really is important for women that are having that pubic symphysis pain. Try to avoid what is exacerbating it. So the biggest thing I see, and especially during pregnancy, is that there's just a lot of movement going on within the pelvis. And so standing on one leg can be a really big exacerbating factor for your pain. So you want to try to avoid that. So that means sitting down to put pants and shoes on. How you're rolling over in bed or getting in and out of bed can be a big way to help. Even like getting in and out of your car. Pain is your body's way of telling you, hey, this is not okay. So really try to listen to that pain. If there's pain, don't keep pushing past it and don't keep trying to do it, because more often than not, it's just going to get worse then, because that pain response is your body's like warning red flag. Hey, knock it off. You know, we can't do this. So avoid anything painful, any exercise that's painful. So with back issues, a really great example is deadlifts tend to aggravate people that have back pain, especially if their form isn't great. So, you know, listen to your body. If your back is sore, achy, or hurting when you're doing that, that's not a great exercise for you at that point. Doesn't mean forever, just means at that moment. Again, really focusing on the TA here is huge. That TA muscle really helps stabilize the whole trunk and pelvis area. It kind of works hand in hand with all those muscles and joints and bones. So focusing on that muscle can really help decrease the pain, because it gives you that strength. It gives your body the ability to basically move without, you know, an abnormal movement from the joints. So the TA is super important here, working on those basic exercises And again, trying to progress that in a pain-free range. So start basic and work your way up from there, using pain as that indicator of maybe what's too much. And then the last thing is I would caution to not be doing Kegels if you're having pain issues, especially if you have painful intercourse or that pubic symphysis pain. My experience is that those muscles, those pelvic floor muscles, are too tight and they're overactive. That's what's giving you pain. And so if you're doing Kegels, you're only exacerbating that. So I caution anyone that's having pain problems, really, Kegels are probably not going to be a great exercise for you to be doing to try to work anything on the pelvic floor. You most likely are going to need some more relaxation and pelvic floor release techniques, especially with back pain is a big one. If you've had issues with the back that haven't improved with other exercise or treatment, then it's pretty likely that the pelvic floor can be a factor. So if you're dealing with those pain issues, that can be kind of tricky, and Kegels pretty much most likely will not be a great exercise. So I know a very vague generalization with this, and it's hard to talk in those definitives and give you a definite yes or no. Just know that, you know, if you're having that pain, they're not great. So I hope this helps clear things up. Check out the show notes for some more specifics as to the exercises I'm talking about. I will link to the other episode I've talked about as well with Kegels and the pelvic floor. And again, subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. So thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a wonderful day.